we were going to have you on before this when we were planning the show today. But when I saw your bold predictions for the American League for the second half, and I saw that number two was the Red Sox will shore up their rotation with Drew Pomeranz and win the AL East going away. And keeping in mind that this was posted before the Red Sox shored up their rotation with Drew Pomeranz, what of these other predictions are you reasonably certain about happening? Because that's pretty good.
You know, I mean, I'm, you know, this is an annual tradition that I've done at SI, and you know, I think 1 year I nailed a bunch of them, but usually it's just, you know, they're no better than my preseason predictions, and you know, alarming in their specificity that not only will the Red Sox trade for a starter here, they're going to trade for Drew Pomeranz. I mean, I had a little bit of, you know, logical deduction there. But, you know, I mean, I think it's just a fun way to start the second half and do some, you know, some serious predictions, some tongue-in-cheek ones. You know, my conviction that the Royals are somehow going to win a wild card spot despite all logic against it is kind of a reaction to having not picked them last year or the year before, and you know, with all of my logical powers, and then obviously wound up with egg on my face here. So, you know, I'm not sure I take any of these too seriously. I mean, there is some logic behind most of them, you know, if you look at it, I don't know a ton more than the next guy or gal when it comes to how the season is going to play out. I just have a few hunches and, you know, read enough sites and follow enough rumors that I maybe have a little bit of a feel for some of the trade stuff and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see if the Red Sox outdistance themselves from the rest of the pack. It's not like they've got an easy go of it with the Orioles 2 games ahead of them and the Blue Jays even with them.
One of the things, well, first of all, I do want to ask you about what type of an impact you think Drew Pomeranz will have in the division race in the East. It was one of those things, and I talked about it at the top of the show. I remember covering the Expos when David Dombrowski was general manager. He made the Mark Langston deal, and you know, part of that was because he knew that his owner was going to sell the team or put the team up at the end of the year, and it was kind of a last chance, a last shot at the World Series. He made that deal in May, but one of the things he did, and I remember David saying, you know, I also acquired the guy that I know that 5 other teams in the National League that I think are going to be between us and a playoff spot. They wanted this guy as well. And I mean, Drew Pomeranz, everything we were told is that he was one of the priority guys for the Blue Jays, at least in terms of talks. He was one of the priority guys for the Blue Jays. So in that way, the Red Sox have struck a blow against the Blue Jays. But can Drew Pomeranz, do you think with the changes he's made this year, is he capable of pitching in this division?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, he has spent much of his career in pitcher's parks, although obviously I think he spent a long time in Colorado, during which he was hurt for most of it. You know, he does seem to have taken a step forward. He's certainly been healthier than in the past, but he's already in the uncharted territory. He's never pitched beyond 100 innings in a major league season before. We don't know how he's going to hold up. We do know that you look at what his recent body of work is, and you compare it to Clay Buchholz and Eduardo Rodriguez and Joe Kelly and the other alternatives they have to round out that rotation behind Price, Wright, and Porcello, and you take your chances in that regard. I mean, you know, separating the possibility that the prospect involved, Anderson Espinosa, grows up to be everything that the talent evaluators think he can be. You know, for the moment, this is got to be an improvement for the Red Sox, who have just not been able to find reliable pitching at the back end of that rotation, and really probably wouldn't be even in the position they're in had Stephen Wright, this 31-year-old knuckleballer, all-star season.
Jay, one of your other predictions is that the Yankees will indeed be sellers, trading Aroldis Chapman, Carlos Beltran, and maybe some more. You know, we've heard that there is kind of a split between I guess the baseball operations people and ownership when it comes to this. I mean, clearly, you know, I'm looking at what Brian Cashman has done in the past couple of years, and you know, we talked to Pat Gillick in this show, and Gillick made the point about how he thought a lot of teams were sort of subtly positioning themselves with younger players to essentially go out and just blow the doors off the bankroll in 2018 when basically every good player in baseball becomes eligible for free agency. So do you see Brian Cashman winning this argument with ownership and being able to move some of these players, particularly as pitchers?
Yes, I see it because I don't see the capability of this team in getting significantly back into the race. I mean, you look at their rotation, and they've got exactly two reliable starters in Masahiro Tanaka and CC Sabathia. You know, Tanaka seems to need a fifth day of rest most of the time. He's a much better pitcher in that context than he is on the day. CC Sabathia, you know, kind of walking a tightrope as he works his way back from a few disappointing and injury-laden seasons. And there's just no five-game winning streak in that rotation. It's just impossible when you've got guys who are struggling as badly as Michael Pineda and Ivan Nova and whatever. So I don't see them clearing 500 anytime soon, and I don't see them willing to, you know, I think Cashman would throw himself in front of a train before he'd let them, you know, trade, say, an Aaron Judge or one of their other top prospects to get the next Drew Pomeranz that's on the market, whether that's Rich Hill or, you know, somebody else. I mean, there just isn't that much good. There aren't difference makers out there. There's no David Price out there this year. So why give up, a blue chip prospect to take another shot at a coin flip game? You know, the Yankees got into one last year. They lost in their home stadium. I mean, that just shows you how the wild card really ain't worth much more than the price of the ticket. So I think Cashman is going to, you know, is going to eventually win this argument because the Yankees just aren't good enough to put together a run over the next 2 weeks that's going to convince anybody that they are realistic playoff contenders.
In conversation with Jay Jaffe of SI.com. Jay, what do you see the Toronto Blue Jays doing? I noticed that they're absent from your bold predictions for the second.
Yeah, you know, I got some heat from Blue Jays fans on it, and it wasn't necessarily to take a shot at them so much as it was like, well, hey, here, I'm writing about hunches. My hunch is that the Red Sox are going to do this thing and they're going to win the division. My hunch is that the Orioles don't have the pitching to win this division. And somehow I think that the Royals are going to eke out a wild card spot and that both AL West contenders are. So that leaves the Blue Jays, you know, without the musical chair. Now, that doesn't really mean that I don't think the Blue Jays have a good shot at the playoffs. You look at them and you compare them to their two division rivals, I think they're probably the most well-rounded of those teams, although they have some injury concerns. You know, Jose Bautista, they're going to move Aaron Sanchez to the bullpen at some point, we're hearing. They have some issues to shore up. I wonder the extent to which they have the prospects to make impact moves after doing so much last year to get Price and Tulowitzki. They cleaned house there, and I know that Alex Anthopoulos caught a lot of criticism from Mark Shapiro on the way out for the extent to which he did that. So, you know, I think they're going to there's got to be some amount of hope that they can do this from within, and get back in this with, you know, Marcus Stroman improving. I know he's been struggling and you know, figuring out ways for the guys they've got on hand to step up. Drew Storen, obviously, not doing everything they wanted him to do. Russell Martin and Troy Tulowitzki kind of struggling, although Tulowitzki's been better of late. So I don't know that they've got a lot of great outside solutions coming their way. I'm sure they'll do something. Everybody gets a reliever if they want one at the deadline. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody in your system you can trade for, you know, trade for some secondary bullpen help. If, you know, you're not going to get Chapman or Miller or whatever, but you're going to get something that'll give you an extra arm down there. Beyond that, though, it's a good question what they're going to do. And, you know, some of that may depend on their own honest reckoning with who's hurt and how soon they're coming back versus what they've told the public and what everybody else around the league believes, because, you know, there's an information asymmetry there.
Right. One of your National League picks, we're on the same page with this. The Marlins taking a wild card spot as the Mets fall by the wayside. You really do get the sense that the Mets right now are just, I was going to say they're hanging on by a string, but it's maybe hanging on by a couple of ligaments more than anything else. And then you know, the Marlins have just kind of been, there. And they're also a team that I think is positioned to make perhaps a significant pickup at the deadline. I really like where they are, to be quite honest.
Yeah, they're in good shape. I mean, you look at that lineup, and it's been surprisingly productive, and you wonder how much of it has to do with Barry Bonds as a hitting coach. I mean, mm-hmm. they are getting above-average offensive production at every position except for shortstop.
And they get Dee Gordon back, I believe, right?
And they'll be getting Dee Gordon back, although, you know, if they do make it to the playoffs, he won't be eligible.
Right.
So it's not like they can trade Derek Dietrich, who's really done just a magnificent job of filling in for him, hitting, you know, above 300 with some power and all that. You know, for them, it's the rotation. I mean, they've got Jose Fernandez and Adam Connolly, and the rest is like, you know, shrug of the shoulders here. How are they going to do this? They shored up their bullpen by getting Fernando Rodney. That was a solid move. But, they do need to land. I don't know whether it's Rich Hill or somebody like that, but they do need an extra arm, to help them outdistance themselves from the Mets, I don't know what the Mets are going to do. You look at just how banged up they are without Matt Harvey, without David Wright, with Steven Matz and Noah Syndergaard both having injury concerns. And it's tough to see how they're going to get through this unless they're really aggressive at the trade deadline, which they were last year, and they got Yoenis Cespedes, but that's been the exception rather than the rule. And who knows whether they've got the will to do something, you know, which may not be, you know, the wisest thing for the franchise in the long run, given, given just the long odds that they face in keeping everybody healthy.
Jay, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this great read, and congratulations on that first pick.
Hey, thanks. We'll see how many others come true here. I have a feeling we'll remember this day for it standing out.
Take care.
All right. Thanks.